The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
On Wednesday, we heard that Nunn's are seeking up to €40 million for the sale of a landmark Dublin 4 property. Located on a site which is immediately adjacent to St Vincent's University and private hospitals on the Merrion Road, the 13.47-acre site was established by the Religious Sisters of Charity in 1868. Joining me now to talk about this is Maeve O'Rourke, Lecturer and Director of Human Rights Law Clinic at the Irish Centre for Human Rights at the University of Galway. Maeve, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you are irate about this. In fact, you're enraged by it.
I do find it very upsetting for two key reasons. The first is that with this potential sale, the Nunn's stand to make a huge amount of money, but they actually closed down their two nursing homes and convalescent home on this site to empty it in 2020 during COVID, saying that they couldn't afford to renovate to keep up with HICWA's demands, and they actually couldn't afford to even pay statutory redundancy to the staff. They had to be dragged through the Labour Court. This is the same order of Nunn's that actually made €45.7 million in 2001 on the sale of the adjoining 14.5-acre site that had held St Mary's School for the Blind. That was the biggest ever sale of a development site in Dublin at that time. In 2009, it valued its own assets at €233 million. It has never paid towards Magdalen Laundry's redress, and it has never paid anything towards people affected by the illegal adoptions that happened through St Patrick's Guild. But secondly, I think there is also a broader point. People lived here before who were older people and people with disabilities right up until 2020. And in 2022, seeking to rezone the land, the Sisters of Charity said that the function of the site was obsolete. But people who need housing, people with disabilities, older people, people on social housing waiting lists, they're not obsolete. And I really think the state needs to have a strategy and a proper plan, including here, to manage the transition of these institutional sites, which are so perfectly located, to places of proper social justice.
Now, when people talk about their wealth or accumulated wealth, sometimes they are asset rich, but actually cash poor. Is it possible that when you look at the sisters saying they have €220 million worth of wealth, that a lot of this is old buildings, convents and the like that are not cash, and therefore at the time when they might have been asked to pay into redress schemes, they simply didn't have it? They may have it after the sale of this and indeed after the sales of the other land, but they might have been actually articulating a truth in saying, we don't have the money.
But I go back to the point that in 2001, they made €45.7 million cash in selling the next door site, which at that time had a school for the blind, and they actually threatened to sue the National Council for the Blind of Ireland at that time for suggesting that they were abandoning their social responsibilities. They pointed to the fact that they were keeping this other similarly sized site next door that, you know, they emptied of two nursing homes and a convalescent home in 2020. So there was massive cash there at that point in 2001. They also have continued to sell in recent years. The Noteworthy did an investigation into this very recently. They make a point that they don't owe anything in redress. They paid €2 million cash after the Ryan report came out, and they gave, I think, about €11 million in property transfers before that. So they're also in 2018, you know, when there was lots of controversy around this order and the new National Maternity Hospital not being in state hands, people made the point that even on the car park at St Vincent's University Hospital, at least €2 million is made a year. So I don't think it's true to say that they don't have cash to support them in their older age. The average age of the Nunn's living in Ireland, according to the Times, of which there are 133, is 84. There are 266 Nunn's still in this order, internationally speaking. And I just believe that the state actually needs to get involved in using these former sites of religious institutions, of places of congregated care, so to speak, to actually put them into use for the stated policy of decongregation in these beautiful places with amazing transport links right by the sea. Why should people who, you know, I mean, the class element, I think, of the religious orders institutional abuse, and just our entire society in Ireland has not been properly examined, and there is a need for people
now,
to...
If the average age of the nuns is 84, actuarially speaking, they can work out, you know, on average what they might have to pay out for how many years before the last of those nuns will have passed on. It seems like they've a lot of cash to do that calculation, and there might well be some change. Is it your suspicion that the cash is being used for other purposes, not simply for the welfare of those surviving nuns?
Well, I mean, this order talks about its work abroad, and that's fair enough. But I don't think, you know, I get the sense there's almost an attitude of, well, we'll go where we're wanted, if you know what I mean. Like, I edited a collection, a book on the Donnybrook Magdalene Nunnery a few years ago with academic colleagues, and we invited the Religious Sisters of Charity to contribute in any way they possibly would like to, and they just refused to contribute in any way. And, you know, even reading David Quinn the other day in the Irish Catholic saying the Macleish report shows everyone's being very unfair to the nuns. They basically didn't, you know, cause abuse in the Magdalene Nunneries. Like, there is this kind of imperviousness to people's demand, rightful demand, for some form of reparation, for financial payments to people directly affected, but also, I would argue, for an involvement using their property, which was donated through charitable donations for the public service by the state, and also indirectly by servitude and forced labour to those orders, to use this land for actual social justice purposes now, and not just to let it go to the highest bidder and the richest people to now live in this fabulous part of Dublin Vore.
Now, just to point out, they've done a master plan with the help of a professional firm, and it promises all sorts of things could be done on the site. 360 apartments across a range of tenures, 315 single-bed student accommodation units, primarily intended for medical students, of course, for both the private hospital, the public hospital, and the maternity hospital, which will be co-located. A 250 single-bed step-down care home facility, a 239-bedroom hotel, and then there'd be 19,523 square metres of private hospital accommodation. So this, you know, very professional document being presented to those prospective buyers, it kind of a juicy target for a developer. But tell me this, Maeve, how might the state get its hands on this asset? I mean, is it moral pressure that they must impose upon the sisters? Or is there any legal mechanism by which the state could take control and say to the nuns, listen, we've picked up most of the tab here for redress. We shouldn't have to. This was, if you like, a joint enterprise between state and the religious institutions. So we want more, and we'll find a legal way to get it.
I mean, this is really the key question, and I just have not seen enough concerted effort, and there needs to be more by the state to manage this, and to manage it not just at the site, but across the entire country in relation to the institutions. There obviously is the option for the Religious Sisters of Charity to donate the site for social purposes, not, you know, to allow further privatisation of care through its sale. There is that option which it could do, and there have been very good examples. For example, the Mercy Order gave its convent in Naas town centre to a housing charity that now has wonderful older people's housing and an arts and culture hub. Obviously, zoning is one way of applying pressure, but actually the Religious Sisters of Charity, using their immense resources to hire the best lawyers in town, successfully challenged in 2012 Dublin City Council's attempts to kind of fix the zoning of institutional lands, and they won in the commercial court, making it so that now today you can see they're able still to offer a plan to potential buyers for these private uses. So I think there is a need to consider forcing them into some form of compromise by opening up access to justice in the courts for the abuses that they have been involved in. It's not possible to sue the religious orders as an entity in themselves these days. There's no class action legislation, there's cost risks, and you can't actually access the records of their systems in order to make your case. So I think that if we opened up the courts, that might bring them to the table. And I have to say, I do think it's necessary to consider potentially a referendum on this question.
The final aspect of this is the nuns may say, listen, this is our land, the rights of private property enshrined in the Constitution. we can do with this what we want once we adhere to all the rules, the regulations, the zoning and so on. It's ours and we can flog it if we want to.
They absolutely do say that. That's why they brought and won their case in the commercial court in 2012, you know, saying that it wasn't fair to take away the value of their land by saying that institutional sites in Dublin City Council area had to be confined to social purposes and only social housing. They wanted the option to put private housing on the menu for buyers. So they absolutely say that, which is why I actually think that we've come to the point where it may be necessary to consider, is a referendum required here? Because these properties were achieved through the ordinary charitable donations of people who wanted to provide for the social needs of those around them. They were provided by state funding, and might I go back to the point that the religious orders who were involved in Magdalen Laundries, if we look at them specifically, did benefit from servitude and forced labour, and they have not atoned for that. The Macleese report found, according to presumably the word of the Religious Sisters of Charity, that its records did not survive. But a colleague of mine, Dr. Mark Cohen in UCD, found decades worth of religious orders financial records on the Donnybrook site derelict in 2018, which show that every year quite a significant surplus was being sent back to the mother house in 1975, enough to buy 2.5 seaside bungalows in Bray, for example. So this has not been excavated, and it's not okay for them to be able to sell it to the highest bidder and presumably tax-free as charities.
Maeve O'Rourke, lecturer and director of the Human Rights Law Clinic at the Irish Centre for Human Rights at the University of Galway. Maeve, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.